My name is Kubro Tsamase, and I am a Motswana author. I've been published through several literary magazines. Womb Sitting is my debut novel.
This is the first episode of a series with Toto Tsamase. You know, I read and I very much enjoyed Peeling Time. I was very intrigued by the experimental point of view you used and the vignettes and the stream of consciousness and the poetic voice. What was your inspiration for that story?
So during that time, I was getting a couple of requests from editors to submit a story. So almost every week or so, I would be needing to come up with a story.
Oh, wow.
I had a deadline as well. And I remember, I think one of the editors had requested a story from me. And so I'll get sometimes ideas and I'll just like note them in my phone. And one time I was on my running jog and I loved listening to like rap music, you know. Mm-hmm. And as I was jogging, I had this idea, like, what if you could write a story about women trapped in music? And I was like, what? And I like the duality of like trap, because it's like being imprisoned or trapped or captured in something, but then there's also trap music. And like, how can you contain the physicality of someone in something as abstract as music, right? And so when it was time to write it, and I was like, well, I guess you would have to write it like a song in an album. You know, I had to start thinking about like the plot, the characters, the motives, and obviously figuring out how to actually trap these people in music and what that meant, like executing it on the page. And I never thought of it being a dual point of view, because most of my stories are always just from one point of view. Mm. And I was writing the story from the villain point of view, which is Mutsumi, right? But also it was kind of like commentary on the music industry in a way, and the objectification of like women within the music industry, and also how they're treated when they saying certain things that I feel they feel confident about. People like criticize them, but when men say it, it's almost like sort of like allowed. So it's like the female point of view, and I've forgotten her name. I have so many names in my head. And with her, I really wanted to write a female character who really didn't comply to society's like traditional view of like women. And she also doesn't feel guilty about that. She's very confident about that. And she goes head to head with Mutsumi and decides to, you know, overpower the system in a way.
Cool. Now, the style you used, is that particular to that piece, or do you use this style with your other writing as well?
To be honest, it's particular to that piece. Every story comes to me as it is, and I try and figure out its identity and adjust the writing style according to it. And so I use poetry in a way, because like rap is so poetic. Like some of the rappers that I follow, and I like look at the lyrics and sometimes study them, I'm like, these people are poets, you know, because there's so much like symbolism in that. Mm-hmm. So it was heavily focused on that in terms of like structure and narrative, and yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Now you have a novel that is, I believe it's out now, is that right? Or is it coming out?
Yes, it is out. I think it came out in January this year.
Okay. And it's called Womb City. Tell us about that.
Right. So Womb City is about this female architect. She had sort of like a successful career as an architect, but she lives in futuristic Botswana, where they have achieved immortality in a way by transferring like people's consciousness from one body to another body. But the regulations around that, where people who are privileged, they tend to get away with much more than other people who are underprivileged. And this shows itself in her, because within a certain term, I believe they're allowed around 200 and something years, and they're able to like jump the consciousness from one body to another for a max of like 200 and something years. Oh. And then when they reach the end of that, the consciousness is pushed into a waiting system, and the waiting period, you're never really certain about it. And then you're put into another body. Now, because the city or the government is running out of like bodies to supply all this consciousness, they, in a way, to reduce the crime rates in the city, they're very strict. Mm. On the consequences of someone who commits a crime. And so people have committed a crime, so their bodies are taken from them, they're supplied to those on the waiting list. But if you receive a body that previously committed a crime, it is installed with technology surveillance of some sort to avoid it from creating, from committing another crime. And so you will find out that most women receive these bodies in a way, this technology is used to just like observe them and control them. And Nella has that body, and she has to go through this mourning lie detector type of like test to make sure that she hasn't committed a crime. And she actually does commit a crime.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So she commits a crime, and the book is about how she navigates all of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm thinking it sounds like a little bit of an authoritarian situation in future Botswana. And it sounds like there's going to be some, I guess I would say, time travel without, you know, using, but by surviving for, I think you said 200 years, your consciousness could skip to the future. Did I hear that right?
No. I meant to say that they have achieved immortality in a way, right? But there's regulations around that. So you're allowed 200 years to live in this life continuously. And then when you meet about 200 years, then your consciousness is pushed onto the waiting list to wait for another body for your next 200 or something years to happen. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So you could be like waiting for a long time, or if before you get your next body. Ah, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems very competitive there.
I mean, yeah. I think I used to, when I was writing it, the way that I could express it is that the first portion of it is almost like a slow burn sci-fi, and then the middle portion of it is like fast-paced horror, and then the last part is like sort of like surrealistic, and yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was very interesting doing that.
Sci-Fi Thoughts wants to expand. We want to grow from not just your podcast player, but to spread to your coworkers, your family, and your friends.
But I haven't got any friends.
Why, you little... 1, 2, 3. Oh, no, you don't. We know you've got friends who are into the science, who are into science fiction. These are the people who are playing Halo and Stellaris and other space games instead of watching college football. There are the ones in the NASA t-shirts who are busy inventing something with their 3D printers. Email them a link to this podcast. Send them a social media request. Heck, even speak to them and tell them that you've enjoyed the show. The main point is to impress upon them how much you enjoy Sci-Fi Thoughts. Tell them to go to the URL scifithoughts.space. Don't keep Sci-Fi Thoughts secret, because keeping secrets from science fiction fans just isn't nice.
Check out the show notes and you will see useful things such as links to the books from Tolotolo and any other things that we could discover and put together into either pictures or web links. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player, and you can just tap on them for your easy access. Or if you downloaded this MP3 from a website, just go back to the website where you downloaded the MP3 and you will see the show notes right there. Next episode, more Tolotolo. So what is it we want to read from today?
I will read from Womb City. I'm reading from the chapter 134. A terrible mother, a slut, and a murderer.